he was, ended up being very loved. It wasn't like he died in my mind. He was alive in that state. And he had his own personality and his own little thing going on.
In the summer of 1911, an unidentified man died in the railroad town of Prescott, Arkansas. With no ID and no way to find his family, the town undertaker put the man's body on public display for over 60 years. This is the story of Old Mike. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark, all the troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine. All right, all right, all right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. On August 20th, 1911, a tent revival meeting was being held in the city park in the railroad town of Prescott, Arkansas. That night, a short, unassuming man was seen in the crowd. He was familiar to members of this town because he was a drifter who passed through from time to time, and usually his visits were short. He would move on to a new town, but this time his visit to Prescott would last longer than he could have known. After the revival meeting ended, the man rested in the grass and leaned against a tree. This would be his last night on earth. Sometime during the night, the man died. The next morning, a woman was walking through the park and she found his body under a tree. She alerted city officials who took the body to Prescott Hardware Company, which at the time also housed the city's morgue. The coroner examined the body and ruled the man had died of a heart attack. The answer to how he died was simple for the folks in this town, but the answer to the question of who was he turned into a mystery that has lingered for over 100 years. When the coroner, Dr. W. Rice of the Nevada County Coroner's Office, searched the body, he found there was no identification on the man. That wasn't rare for the time. It was 1911, and oftentimes it could prove difficult to identify anyone who wasn't a resident of the town where they died. All Dr. Rice found in the man's pockets, all of this man's worldly possessions, included 80 cents, a silver teaspoon, a handkerchief, and about a dozen pencils. City officials and the coroner began asking around town, inquiring as to whether or not someone knew the name of this man. Time and time again, they heard from people around town that all they knew about the man was that he was a traveling salesman and a drifter. He would come to town and sell pencils and shoestrings to people on the sidewalks. And the years and his work seemed to have taken a toll on him. He had been traveling for a long time and had what people around town assumed was some sort of arthritic condition that crippled his left foot and led to his use of crutches. Many people knew he was a drifter, but despite the man being around town many times, not a single person could recall his name. At the coroner's inquest, a traveling umbrella repairman testified he had seen the deceased in a Little Rock, Arkansas court. The witness testified the man had been answering to a charge of public drunkenness about 10 days before he died, but there's no record of anyone checking the court records in Little Rock to confirm that story and even see if they could find the man's true identity in those court documents. Another witness claimed to have seen the man around Arkadelphia, a town that served the railroad that came through Prescott. The man pointed out that the dead man seemed to be wearing a suit purchased in Texarkana. When the merchant was asked about the suit, he said he remembered selling it, but he just couldn't remember anything about the man who bought it. One person claimed that he had talked to the dead man and that he told him he had a sister in Chicago. But unfortunately, once again, this witness said he could not recall this man's name or any other information about him. Authorities went back to basics to try to follow clues to identify this man. Here's all they knew about him. He was a small man, only around 5'4". He had brown eyes and a head full of brown hair, a thick mustache, and a tattoo on his right arm. That tattoo was of a woman standing on a pedestal. We also know his left leg was a little shorter than his right. He had a stiff ankle, wore a pair of number 6 shoes made by the Foreman Shoe Company of Chicago, and he had an old scar on the top of his head, and he had 2 gold teeth. Now that last bit about the teeth, that was one of the strongest clues about this man. He had expensive dental work done, which suggested he might have been of European origin or possibly Italian. This was based on the estimate of the work he had had done. People who saw the man's dental work noted that he had beautiful gold work in his lower teeth. At this time, that dental work would have been too expensive for the average American to have done, yet affordable in a foreign country. But the dental work, it didn't solve the case. Once again, authorities were left with no identification and no clues as to the identity of this man. The coroner decided to release the man's body to Cornish Funeral Home, where the undertaker, John D. Cornish, agreed to embalm him. At the time, this was not the only unidentified body inside Cornish Funeral Home. There was also a woman whom the funeral home employees referred to as Old Kathy. So the funeral home workers started calling the drifter Old Mike. Eventually, Old Kathy was claimed by her family, but Old Mike remained at the funeral home. No one knew his name. No family members came to claim him and take him home for burial. The operator of the funeral home, John D. Cornish, decided to do something very unusual. He took a tragic situation and turned it into a sort of town attraction in Prescott, Arkansas. John D. Cornish decided to put Old Mike on display with the hopes that someone would come along and identify him. Women from all over the country, including Tupelo, Mississippi, Albany, New York, and Tacoma, Washington, they came to Prescott when they heard about an unknown dead man who was on display in the funeral home. They came searching for missing husbands and brothers. They came to see Old Mike in person and to see if they saw in his face the face of someone they loved who had gone missing. But as the months and years passed, fewer and fewer people came, and no one ever identified Old Mike. Yet Old Mike remained on display. Originally, Mike was embalmed with his mouth open and his eyes closed, but constant embalming had caused his body to mummify. The mummification process caused his skin to darken, leading to the rumor that Old Mike had turned into wood. As the years passed, the skin around his eyes tightened, the dry eyes cracked, so the undertaker inserted caps tinted a shade of blue to cover the eyeballs. This made it appear as though Old Mike was staring at you, presenting an even more ghoulish image. He'd also shrunk from about 5'4 to around 4'5, his weight declining to about 50 pounds. But still, Old Mike held up pretty well through the years, and he was prepared over and over again for visitors. Every few years, Mike was removed from display, stripped of his clothes, and bathed. The old clothes would be burned, and a new set of outdated clothes were put back on Mike's body. Then he would be placed, once again, in a standing position, in a cabinet for display. It's said Old Mike was even kept in the Old Town Post Office in the 1940s, a type of living missing person poster, in the hopes that someone would see him and know who he was. Well, imagine the fascination and the fear that Old Mike caused in the hearts and minds of people around town, especially kids. When Old Mike was on display at the funeral home, he would be standing behind a curtain. Reverend Jerry Westmoreland grew up in Prescott and shared that when he was a child in the 1950s, it was always fun to see Old Mike and dare friends to touch him. Jerry said that all you had to do was go by the funeral home and ask to see him. They'd let you in and take you to the back of the funeral home where Old Mike would be waiting for you. A funeral home worker would draw back the curtain, and there you would stand, a horrified and fascinated child, looking at the corpse of a man who had died decades ago. It took lots of courage for those kids to walk in to see Old Mike, and the experience was unforgettable for many of them. In 2009, a film class at the Arkansas School of Mathematics, Sciences, and the Arts produced a documentary about the story of Old Mike. They interviewed women and men who had seen Old Mike at that funeral home. Here's one man sharing about the day he and a friend met Old Mike inside of that funeral home.
One day, me and Brian Jordan decided we was going to be brave enough to go in there and see Old Mike. And Mr. Anthony, they said he was a very smart man. He did different things with Mike. They said he put Mike in a lot of different ways to scare people. And this time he had him sitting in, now I say, a lift chair. And he would sit up in that chair, and we'll walk through the back door, and he'd, all of a sudden the chair would raise. And when the chair raised, it looked like he was coming at you, like he was getting up out of his chair. We take off running out the back door hollering, "Oh, Mike gonna get you! Oh, Mike gonna get you!" And we'll run all the way home.
Well, by 1970, Old Mike's fame had grown so much that an article in the Arkansas Democrat showed that two busloads of children came to see Old Mike in a single week's time. Johnny Carson even mentioned the story of Old Mike on NBC's Tonight Show, which made more and more people curious about seeing the man on display. And there were those who took it a little further. Some high school students stole Old Mike's body and took him to the movies with them. There was also a request from traveling carnivals asking to purchase Old Mike's body and include him in traveling freak shows. One carnival offered the funeral home $1,000 to buy Old Mike and take him on the road, but they refused, saying it wouldn't be ethical to sell him. Since the day Old Mike died in August of 1911, there had always been some hope that somehow, some way, he would find his way home, that someone would identify him. In the newspaper announcement of his death back in August of 1911, the reporter wrote that his remains were embalmed and would be held in Prescott with the hopes that something may be learned of his identity. No one can imagine that Old Mike would be on display with no complaints from the public for 63 years. In truth, Old Mike was well known in death, and considering how many people couldn't remember details he shared about himself in life, it seems fitting that he was finally seen in death. No longer just an invisible man who people spoke to in passing. By 1975, one person decided it was time for Old Mike to finally be laid to rest, a worker at the funeral home in Prescott. Here's that worker sharing about what he did to get Mike buried.
I got the Attorney General, Arkansas Attorney General, to write a letter to the funeral home's attorney stating that Mike had to be buried. I know on certain terms, you know, Mike had to be buried at the earliest date.
Well, that request to bury Old Mike, it brought mixed reactions from the people of Prescott who had come to consider Old Mike a resident of the town. Here's a resident of the town who had grown up in Prescott sharing why she was conflicted at the idea of him being buried.
I still don't think about it being bad because Mike, whoever he was, ended up being very loved. It wasn't like he died in my mind. He was alive in that state. And he had his own personality and his own little thing going on.
Well, by the time the funeral worker complained about Old Mike being on display, the Arkansas legislature had passed a law that required bodies be buried in a reasonable time after death. It had been 63 years, and the state said it was time for Old Mike's funeral. Cornish Funeral Home complied and decided to hold a private funeral for Mike. The funeral home purchased a plot for Old Mike in the local cemetery. They kept the press away from the funeral. Old Mike's coffin was covered with a wreath of red carnations, and only seven people attended that funeral on May 12th of 1975. The Reverend Jerry Westmoreland was at the funeral and spoke. Here's the Reverend describing the day Mike was buried.
I remember what I said to a degree. It was a spring morning, the birds were singing, and I was just there, and I said, "We're here to honor a man that nobody knew about, but God did, and that, you know, God has, hopefully he's put him down," and I read some scripture, and the fact that God knows all of us, even when you die like that. That's what I used. Very short. And I consider it an honor to get to do the service, you know, being in Prescott. And it was strange.
Old Mike was finally laid to rest in the Deanne Cemetery in Prescott. If you wanted to visit him today, there's a simple headstone in the cemetery that reads, "Old Mike died August 21st, 1911. He definitely had quite the journey between death and burial. And never have the words, "May he finally rest in peace," seemed more fitting than with the mystery of Old Mike. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. You can learn more about Prescott, Arkansas, and see pictures of Old Mike on display. They're a little ghoulish, but fascinating. You can see them in our Facebook group. Just search for Southern Mysteries Podcast. I'd also encourage you to connect on Twitter. You can follow me at Mysteries Pod and on Instagram at Southern Mysteries. I'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode for you. Thanks for listening.
It'll be all right. We're careful what we